And as I worked on it, first of all, I have to admit my mind is not near what it needs to be. And that's not unusual, but it's a little worse than normal. And focusing can get difficult. But I think there's some things that the Lord allowed me to focus on in this chapter. I promised my wife I wouldn't be long. And pray for her. I do make her crazy. And I try to understand, but it's not always easy. I was listening to Christian radio last evening, and Wall Builders was on. How many of you have ever listened to Wall Builders? Well, I don't know if you're aware of this. This week was Capital Connection. How many of you know what that is? That's when preachers from all over the country gather in Washington, D.C. I believe it's Tuesday and Wednesday that they pretty much spend on Capitol Hill. And they go to their various representatives and congressmen and senators and meet with them, pray with them. Most of the time they have a gift for them, Bibles and things of that nature. And it's not something to be critical. It's something to let people in Washington know we're out here and we care. We care about our country, care about them. And I was a little bit amazed that the Wall Builders was involved in it. I didn't know they even got involved, but obviously they did. And of course, we support Awake America, and Brother Harder has pretty much spearheaded that thing, him and Brother Pat Creed. And it just kind of struck me that today I'm dealing with this and the idea of memorials. They were saying on Wall Builders about Washington, D.C. and how you can't go to that city and not see the Christian background of our nation. It's everywhere. There are one instance. In the gallery where they have the president's message every year, State of the Union, apparently there are figureheads all around the room of great lawgivers, et cetera. And from what the man described, they look at each other. They're like ceramic things, and they're looking at each other. But there's one right in the very center that looks down over that main desk in that particular edifice, and that's the man Moses. He's not looking to the right hand or to the left. He's looking right down at that sacred desk. See, because it doesn't matter right hand or left. He's got the law of God, and it's focused. And I thought about all that. I thought about the great memorials we have in our country. We have veterans' memorials. We have the 9/11 memorial. We have a Valley Forge memorial. We could go on and on listing memorials in our country. And they all have the main purpose of this, to remind us. And I just kind of titled this, Lest Ye Forget. That's what memorials are all about. You know, there's an old cliche that says, out of sight, out of mind. The idea behind that saying is that we're quick to forget things, and oftentimes we need to keep our memory stirred about certain things that we never really forget them. I thought about wedding rings. Not that you ever forget that you're married. But you know, anytime you look down, and if you're married and you see your wedding ring, It's a reminder. It's a memorial. We read this text. I asked Pastor Meyer to do that for the sake of wind, if you will. And we read about God here is commanding Joshua to take these people now across the river. Time's come. This is it. And he tells Joshua, and we read last time about the priest stepping down into that water and the water parting. And if you remember, we said how the water stopped way probably 50, 60, 70 miles north. And then it just dried up. Not like the Red Sea in my mind, where the Red Sea, I believe, was walls of water. But just a wall here, like somebody built a dam. And now they're crossing. And of course, we read how the priests were to go down first. And they were to stand in the midst of that riverbed. And then Joshua goes on here to give some more instructions about things that need to happen while all this is going on. And the purpose is, if I read it correctly, is that God did not want them to forget the wonderful things he had done and this wonderful miracle he was doing for them right now. So let's look at this. And the first thing we're going to see is memorial number one. Memorial number one is found in the first eight verses. And according to the command given to Joshua, this memorial is to be built by one man out of each tribe. He says there in verses 2 and 3, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Make a little note of that. 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and lead them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Now, but go back to chapter 3, and in verse 12, we noted this last time, God's talking about how they're going to go over the river, they're going to do this and that, and just kind of as a little parenthesis, right there in verse 12, he says, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And we're kind of left hanging there. But now we come to chapter 4, and we see, oh, okay, Joshua chose these men. He said, there's a job you're going to do. He had prepared them. Now he calls them. He said, all right, fellas, you're up. Now, this was to be built by one man from each tribe of Israel. And I think the purpose there was that this was to be a memorial erected by representatives of everybody, not just the Levites. Not just some kind of elite. This was something that everybody was going to have a part in. Each tribe would have a part in. And then it's interesting how God said they were to build this altar, this memorial, if you will, out of unaltered stones. How many of you ever been down by the river? You ever see them big river rocks? And they say they got those shapes because of the water and all that kind of thing. Man didn't do that. And so God told these men, I want you to pick up these stones. And if you read a little further, they must have been pretty hefty because he said, put them on your shoulder. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm carrying some weights, I might carry them this way. But if I'm going to carry a real heavy weight, if I can get on my shoulder. So these are pretty hefty stones. But God said, I don't want you getting stones and altering them and fixing them the way you want them to be. I've already made them. I just want you to get the stones And I want this memorial to be something built not for the aesthetics, not to the praise of the guy who designed it. I want it to be something to memorialize me. The beauty of this thing is not necessarily in the material, but in the meaning. And it's interesting. Watch as you read in your Bible about different men that build altars. And many times God will say, I want you to rear me up an altar, and I don't want you to put any kind of man's tools to it. You just use the natural rocks for my altar. And here's something else interesting about these stones. They were to be taken from very close proximity to where the priest stood. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, over in chapter 3, they were told when these priests were going down into this water that no one was supposed to come near the priests and the ark. Talking to Brother Jim last week about that. It says 2,000 cubits. That's 3,000 feet. Okay, 3,000 feet. That's roughly 3/5 of a mile. The God said, stay away from that ark. You know, that's holy ground. Don't get near it. But suddenly, Joshua tells these 12 men, you're to go near that ark, and you're to get the stones from where the priests are standing in the midst. Now, he says then they're to be shouldered. They're to be carried to the other side where they would lodge that night. How many people are we talking about? At least 2 million. And God's telling them, and again, think about how the water divided. There's going to be a very great area to cross. And God says, you're going to be on the other side of this Jordan by tonight. You're done over here in the wilderness. If you want to do your math and check things out, you'll find out this is, I think it's just 5 days shy of exactly 40 years in the wilderness. But now you're done in the wilderness. Now you're going to cross over, and in crossing over, you're entering a whole new life. Interesting. So, these memorials, this memorial is to be erected, he says in verse 6, as a reminder. He says, I want all this done that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. See, this memorial really wasn't for the people crossing the Jordan. Now, think about this. If you were one of those 2 million people, do you think you would ever forget seeing the Jordan River dried up in flood stage? And crossing over? No. There's a memorial down in Washington, D.C. for Vietnam vets. You think any of those veterans who served in Vietnam forget? No. The memorial's for those of us who didn't. to remind us. So now this memorial is really not for these people who are crossing the Jordan. It's for the future generation. See, we have a God who sees tomorrow. We also have a God who created man, and he knows the propensities of man. God knows exactly how fickle man really is. And so here God is making preparation. Here God is trying to cut off something that unfortunately is going to happen. You see, God wanted this to be an ever-present reminder to the coming generations. This is what your God did. 2 million people, and in all those 2 million people, we have two who were there when the Red Sea was parted. We may have some younger people who were not of age that survived. But for the most part, that's something that happened to mom and dad. You with me? Red Sea. And you know, it only took them 40 years for many of them to forget about it. Not really, well, it never happened, no. But to lose the value, lose the importance, lose the meaning. I'm in the book of Judges now, as I'm reading through the Bible again. What a tragic time. We'll be coming to the end of the book of Joshua one day, hopefully. And we'll see that now they're in the promised land. Things have kind of settled down. The tribes have been given their particular areas and all that. And the Bible says over there, the first part of Judges, how Joshua died and those who were with him continued in the ways of Joshua, in the ways of God. And even the next generation, to some degree, continued in the ways of God. And then comes that third generation. And they knew not the Lord. God knows their propensities. See, I believe right now we are suffering a similar situation. Many of us know a Christianity in America far different from what we have today. We saw a fire sweeping across our land. We saw suddenly churches exploding. I don't mean literally, but I mean in attendance, number of people won. We saw people getting saved, and they start bringing their families, and they get saved, and they were bringing their families in. And pretty soon we had churches blossoming, and we had churches getting started, and we had Christian schools starting, and we had Christian colleges starting, and we saw great and mighty things happening. We've seen it. And then our kids came along. We took our kids to church. We wanted them to experience what we'd experienced. And in a lot of ways, many of them did. Carried on. But we began to see a lessening, if you will. A dying a little bit of the fire. It was still there, but it wasn't like it used to be. And then we saw the next generation come along. And now the fact is we're into the next generation. I get periodical after periodical. One of the issues of today is, why are we losing our kids? I had someone tell me this week, we lose our young people because our music isn't modern enough. And our standards are too high. Really? That same music and those same standards worked back then. Think it might be a problem with the people? Yeah. And notice what he says here. When the children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? Now, I'm a little bit concerned that the children would even have to ask. Why, you would think in every home the stories would be told. What a mighty God we serve. Why, I was there when that Jordan River parted. I was there when the walls of Jericho came down. But just a couple of generations and the children are having to ask? What's with these stones? But then notice whose responsibility it is to tell them. Dad? You see, there's much of the problem in our Christian young people today. It's not just dad. Mom and dad. Shake your head, yeah? Yeah, they want to appease their kids. They want to baby their kids. They don't want their kids to hate them. And let me ask you this question. I would never want it to be this way, but would it be better for your kid to grow up and hate you and be saved? And to grow up and adore you and die and go to hell. That's the battle. Well, Johnny don't want to go to church. Really? You know, my kids never had a choice. I don't ever remember asking any one of our kids, you going to go to church today? No. Well, they'll end up resenting church. That might happen. Also might happen, they'll go to church and God will get a hold of their heart and change their life. But I'll tell you what, much better chance of that happening in church than there is of happening out of church. Sitting home watching MTV. It took just 3 generations for Israel to become. A nation that didn't remember God. Memorial number 2. Verse 9. I'm not going to spend much time on here. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, stood, and they are there unto this day. So God told these men, carry the stones out of the riverbed. Take them over to the promised land, stack them up over there, and make a memorial. He tells Joshua, go down there and get 12 stones and stack them up in the middle of the river. Can I just be honest with you? I haven't figured it out yet. I can speculate on what that's all about. See, one day, that Jordan River was going to go back to its original state. It's in flood stage now. And when that water comes back, and by the way, it's coming back in flood stage. Read your Bible. Nobody's going to see those stones. Well, maybe one day in the regular flow of things, they'll at least see the tip of it. I don't know. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time speculating because I want to get to this. There's another memorial I'm going to talk to you about. Actually, two more. But they're not in the Old Testament. They're in the New Testament. I'm talking about baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are both things God has given to us to remind us, lest we forget. In Romans 6, Paul talks about baptism, and a lot of people say, well, that's water baptism. No, that's spirit baptism, but it's pictured in water. It's spirit baptism. It's what happens to us when we get saved. We're baptized into the body of Christ. We die with him, we're buried with him, and we're resurrected with him to walk in newness of life. Easter Sunday is coming up. I got baptized scripturally Easter Sunday, 1974. You say he said scripturally. Yeah, I got sprinkled by the Catholics and immersed by the community church, but then I got saved. And I got immersed. And you know, my pastor explained a picture there that now I was dead in Christ, the old me had died. Now I was buried with Christ. The old me was buried. Now I was resurrected with Christ. Now a new me lived. One that never existed before. Now, I didn't understand all that. I understood about this much. But the longer I was saved, the more I understood. And I started seeing things change in my life. And it wasn't me changing them. I didn't want to talk like I used to talk. Didn't want to read what I used to read. And on we could go. Walk in newness of life. And so I look back at my baptism. Now I know it's the result of my salvation. But I think about that scriptural truth about baptism, that I was actually baptized spiritually at that instant of my salvation. And I crossed over into a new life. Nothing's the same. You know something else? I can't go back. Can't go back. This drives the Pentecostals nuts, but I couldn't get unsaved if I wanted to. Then there's a second one, and we're very familiar with the Lord's Supper. Why did he give us that? Well, the Roman Catholics tell you that's how you get saved. That's how you get Jesus. When you come and, well, in the old days, you used to kneel at this altar, and I remember those days. That priest would come, he'd have an altar boy. Any other altar boys? No altar boys in our midst? Me too, they wouldn't let me be one. But that altar boy would come along with the priest. And it used to make me crazy as a kid. You know, kids, they don't have any sense. And I'm watching this, and here's this older boy, and he has what I always saw as a round pancake flipper. I could never figure out, why would you want a round pancake flipper? But that's what he did. And he would come along, and the priest would have his cup of the Eucharist. And he'd be mumbo-jumboing. And people would kneel down, stick their tongue out, and he'd put that right on their tongue. You were not to chew it. You were not to touch it. The only thing you were supposed to do with that was swallow it. Any ex-Roman Catholics in here? How many of you got it stuck to the roof of your mouth? What do I do now? You're not allowed to touch it. And it's stuck up there. And your tongue's trying. Why aren't you supposed to touch it or chew it? Because that's a literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ in their eyes. Is that what Jesus gave us that for? No. No. In 1 Corinthians and Matthew 26 and the other gospel, Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember. Easter's 2 weeks away. The Passion Week is coming. He said, I don't want you ever to forget what I did for you. I let him beat me, lie on me, mock me, spit on me, abuse me, and hang me on a cross. I let him do that to me. I could have stopped him. I had to do that for you. I don't ever want you to forget it. That blood that I shed, that was shed for you. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That's a memorial. Lest you forget. Way back there, God says, we need memorials to remember. Today, we need memorials to remember. Can I just say this? I'm going to finish. Sometimes, personally, we need to set up a few memorials in our own life. A few of those mileposts, a few of those stacks of rocks, that something great happened here. God did something here. I don't ever want to forget it. So I'm going to have this little memorial. Maybe it's just in my heart or in my mind. Maybe it's somewhere where you can go and remember. I remember. But just don't forget. We have that propensity. Let's do everything we can so we don't fall into it. Thank you, Lord, for this chapter. Thank you for the memorials that you wanted set up. Honestly, Lord, we don't understand all about them. We understand some. Help us to follow through on what we do understand, that we would never forget. And Lord, help us to be faithful to school, our next generation, and our young people, to rehearse to them the great and mighty things that we've seen you do. And Lord, we pray that you would do great and mighty things in their lives, that one day they'll be able to pass it down. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Fellows,